All right. Well, good morning, everyone. As you see on the wall there, my message for today is titled Buried But Not Hidden. And that might confuse some people, but hopefully it will make sense once I'm done. My inspiration, I guess you'd say, for this message comes, probably would have got it last summer already, but I was reminded of it again, about 2 weeks ago when I was tilling my garden, and about 3 or 4 years ago, we decided we were going to plant potatoes in our garden. So we tilled everything up, you know, and planted potatoes in the garden, and it kind of worked and kind of didn't. We got some little ones, but we didn't get very big ones, so we just kind of left the rest of them, you know, didn't dig them all up. And the next year, we tilled everything up again and planted the garden, and for some reason, we didn't plant that stretch. It's against the woods, kind of, so it's, I guess maybe we think it doesn't do very good over there because of the woods, the fence line there. And springtime came, summertime came. Sure enough, up popped these potatoes that we didn't plant again. And I got to thinking that, you know, it's kind of like life. Our sins, our life, you know, we think we've got things covered up. You know, I got this thing of dirt here. And it's covered up. You can't really see anything in there. It looks like dirt. It is dirt. But, you know, in a couple of weeks, it's not going to look like this, hopefully, because the snow was not too kind on these. But yet, that's going to turn into flowers. There's seeds in here. And we have seeds in our lives that they're going to turn into something. They might turn into flowers. They might turn into potatoes. They might turn into weeds. But there's things in our lives that they're there. Maybe you can't see them. Maybe no one else can see them, but they're there, and they're gonna show up. I'd like to have the kids come up, maybe, and we'll do a little story with them this morning. So the kids can come up and maybe sit over here along this side. Sit along that bench right there. All right. Who all knows who the children of Israel were? You know the children of Israel were? All right. Who all knows about Jericho? What happened when they went around Jericho? Did the walls fall down?
Yes.
Then what happened?
They got the land.
Well, in that when they died, yeah, the people in Jericho died.
But not the pirates.
Not the pirates. No, pirates did not die. But when the Israelites took over the land of Jericho, they were told to destroy everything that was there. And they were told to bring the gold and the silver and the bronze and the copper to the Lord's house. But they were told to destroy everything and not to keep anything for themselves. Well, there was a man, his name was Achan. You know who Achan was?
The king.
He was not the king. But you know what he did? He'd seen some stuff there, and he was like, boy, this is good stuff. What did he do? He took it, didn't he? And, you know, the next city that they went to, the Israelites, they seen the city, and it was a small city. And they said, well, we just need to send 3,000 men. And so they sent these 3,000 men out there, and the men of the city came out, and they beat back the Israelites, and they killed like 36 of them. And the leader of the Israelites, Joshua, he fell on his face, and he asked God, "Why? You know, why did you bring us out there? Now the rest of the Amorites are gonna kill us because you know they're gonna surround us and they're gonna capture us." And the Lord said, "There's something that's wrong." So Jonah didn't die? No. So the Lord told Joshua, he said, to send these people, send the whole tribe of Israel before you. And he narrowed it down to each tribe, then he narrowed it down to each family, and then he narrowed it down to Achan. And Joshua said, "Achan," let me read it to you what he said. He said, "Then Joshua said to Achan, 'My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me.' Achan replied, 'It is true, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath.' So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord." Now, those things were in his tent, and they were hidden, weren't they? Could anybody see them? Who could see them? God could. That's right. And I have a couple little illustrations here. Now, in your life, when you go through life and you're in school, a lot of y'all are in school right now, and you have to go do your schoolwork, and you do your paces, and you know what? You're tempted to maybe not do very good on your paces. You're tempted to cheat maybe a little bit, and you're tempted to maybe cheat a little bit on your paces and not do your schoolwork very good. But you know what happens when you do that? This is a button. Where is that at? Can you see that?
No.
There, yes. It popped back up.
I saw it.
See it? Or maybe you're tempted, your mom tells you to clean your room, and you shove everything in the closet or you shove it underneath your bed. But you know what? And it's hidden. Yep, can't see that one. Right? Up, oh, there it comes back up. You know, when we do things in life, maybe your dad speeds a little bit, and you think that there's no cops around, and nobody can see it, but all of a sudden, pop, there's a cop when you top the hill. When you do things in life, maybe you can go back and sit down now. Go back to your seat here. When you do things like that, you think that they're hidden. You know, and they disappear and nobody can see it. But guess what? If you cheated on your pace work maybe, when's it going to show up? When you take your test? Oh man, I didn't realize that was going to be on the test. I should have done better on my paces. I shouldn't have cheated maybe. And maybe your mom comes in and says, "Oh, your room's clean." But then she goes to look for your clothes and she can't find any clothes because they're shoved all underneath your bed because you didn't clean your room very good. You just shoved everything underneath your bed. You know, hiding things from your parents and from God doesn't mean that they're hidden. You know, you think that they're covered up. And another thing I have here is this orange or a cutie. And sometimes in life, we want to hold on to things. We want to hold on to sin. You know, maybe we don't want to give it all to God. And Ricky, you want to get that orange out? Reach in there and get that orange out. Can you reach in there? You can't get your hand in there. Let's see. Connor, you come try to get it out. Pull out. Pull out. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You can't grab it and pull it out, can you?
I think I can.
You think you can. Bo, do you want to try it? Come try it. Can't do it, can you?
Let him try.
Do you know that that's one of the things they try to do?
Let him try.
Let Trayton try it one time. Can't do it. Maybe he can do it. Almost. Okay, sit down. Sit down. All right. Do you know that's one way that they use to catch monkeys? Is they put a banana in a hole or something, in a cage, and the monkey reaches his hand in there, and he grabs a hold of the banana or the nut, and he won't let go of it. And he's trapped there because he won't let go of it. And that's kind of like sin is sometime in our lives. We reach in there and we grab hold of it. We hold on to that sin, but we don't want to let go of it. And we're stuck in this jar. And that's the way sin is sometimes. You know, with Achan, you know, he had this treasure that he had found, and it kind of trapped him. And because of it, they let him out and they stoned him to death. Him and his family and everything that he had. They let him out and they stoned him. So I want you all to remember that when you go from here, that, you know, the things that we think are hidden, maybe they're not hidden. And you know, maybe you don't know it, but your mom and dads can oftentimes tell when you're doing something that's, you know, you're not supposed to be doing. Maybe you're not supposed to have that blue Kool-Aid that is in the refrigerator, and you think mom will never know if I take a glass of it. But guess what? You've got blue tongue and blue lips when she comes around the next time and she says, "You've been drinking Kool-Aid." So just remember that, you know, the things that we do, sometimes we think they're hidden, but we can't hide them from God. So y'all can go back now. We're not going to let that go to waste. All right. But as I was reading the story of Achan, you know, he thought he had buried it in his tent and no one could see it. And he thought he had got away with it. But, you know, I'm sure in the back of his mind, he's thinking that, you know, somebody's going to find this out. You know, I'm going to have to pick this tent up, you know, sooner or later and move it, and I'm going to have to be careful when I do it and make sure no one sees me move when I move my tent. And, you know, it's how it is in life a lot. You know, we think we've got stuff hidden, but yet it's not. Jeremiah 16, verse 17 says, "My eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their sin concealed from my eyes." So God's got his eyes on us. He can see everything we're doing. Isaiah 29:15 says, "Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, 'Who sees this? Who will know?'" You know, you think of those who go to great depths, and I was reminded of David. You know, David and Bathsheba, when he had sinned, and 2 Samuel 11, starting at verse 6, he says, "So David sent this word to Joab, 'Send me Uriah the Hittite.' And Joab sent him to David." This was after Bathsheba had come to David and said that she was pregnant. He said, "Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, 'Go down to your house and wash your feet.' So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house." You know, David thought, you know, "I'll have him come and I'll send him home and you know, this will explain everything and then he'll go back to battle and everything will be good." But Uriah couldn't do that. Next day, when David was told Uriah did not go home, he asked him, "Haven't you just come from a distance? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my master Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open fields. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." So, you know, David was beginning to have to go to great depths, you know, to hide his sins. You know, he said, so David said, okay. So then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him. And David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. Now David thought, well, maybe if I get him drunk, he'll go home. You know, but he still wouldn't do it. So, you know, David had to come up with another plan. You know, this wasn't working, so he decided to come up with another one. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it he wrote, "Put Uriah in the front line where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die." So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at a place where the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite was dead. You know, David had to keep going to bigger and bigger ways to hide his sin. And it just kept building and building. It's kind of like in our own lives, you know, we think, you know, we cover something up and it's like, well, okay, I got that covered up, and something happens, like, oh, now I got to lie about it, because if I confess, you know, I'll look guilty. I'll be guilty, you know, admit I'm guilty. And so we lie about it to cover it up. And you know, it's just kind of how it is. It keeps, you know, keeps digging and digging and trying to cover up, and you just keep digging yourself a hole. Also in, I'll read Sam, Psalms 32. This was something David wrote in the midst of this, when it happened with Bathsheba. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 4 says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." And you know, it kind of wears on a person when, you know, when they know they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. And you know, if I drive the speed limit the whole way, it's not near as tense as if I drive 10 miles an hour over the speed limit the whole way. You know, every time you top a hill, you're like, it's a cop, you know, and, you know, it wears on a person, and it actually, you know, it can do physical damage if it goes long enough. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You know, everybody has sinned. Everybody has done wrong. We've all committed sins. I think of Joseph's brothers, how they tried to cover up. You know, they told Jacob that, you know, a wild beast got him, and they ripped his jacket to pieces, and they killed a goat or lamb, and they covered it in blood, and said, is this his coat? You know, they knew good and well it was his coat, and they knew what had happened to it. But yet they were trying to hide what they had done, you know, covering up one sin with another sin. And, you know, maybe asking him wasn't, you know, a lie, maybe a white lie, but, you know, covering it with the lamb's blood was, and saying it was a lion's blood, lion, or it was Joseph's blood, was a lie. So, I mean, they just cover up, pile it on, and, but then when we confess our sins, is when another thing happens. And that verse I just read, you know, where it talks about, "For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." Verse 5, the next verse says, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." So if we confess our sins to God, he's going to forgive us. There's another one that he wrote. David wrote this after Nathan had confronted him. The prophet Nathan had confronted him. And it's Psalms 51. And I'm going to read 1 through 17. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts and teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Clean me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. And that whiter than snow hit me yesterday, you know, looking out, we didn't have snow very long. But if you looked out, you know, on top of the vehicles, the snow was thicker maybe. And it's just as white can be. And if you, last weekend we were in Pennsylvania and there was snow on the ground, and Monday, the day of the funeral, we drove back, started back Monday, and it was actually so bright, you know, you almost needed sunglasses. The sun was shining, but it was reflecting off the snow. And I think about, you know, this paper is white. You know, the things that we have white, we have white t-shirts, we have white Kleenexes, but yet you take them outside of that snow, and they're dingy and kind of pale in comparison. They're not near as white as what the snow is. Man cannot make something as white as snow, I don't believe. And it says, you know, I'll be whiter than snow. God can clean us whiter than snow. And that really hit me yesterday as I was going over this and I was studying. I was like, you know, the snow outside, and just really, really hit me. Verse 8 says, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way and sinners will turn back to you. Yeah, it's just when you turn back, when you confess your sins, God can then God can begin to heal and to create, like he said in verse 10, create in me a pure heart, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses them and renounces them finds mercy. So it's when we begin to confess, you know, I think of a little child coming to his dad and saying, you know, Dad, I disobeyed you. And it's only then that the father can show mercy. You know, otherwise, up until that point, the child is living in fear. But when that happens, the father is able to show mercy to that child. And God is the same way to us. When we come to him and we confess our sins to him, then he can show us mercy. And he is a merciful God. 1 John 1, verse 9 and 10 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. So God, it says here that God's going to forgive us for our sins when we confess them. And not only is he going to forgive us, he's going to cleanse us, he's going to purify us from all that sin that we have in our life, and he's going to, you know, restore us to him. And, you know, it says two chapters later in chapter 3, it says, no one who's born of God, verse 9, says, no one who's born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not what is right and is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. You know, when we do that, when we confess our sins to God, we move past it. We quit sinning. We don't continue in our sin. You know, that's one of the ways that we can tell that we're children of God. You know, just thinking of these little simple illustrations, you know, if we have these things in our lives that we think are not revealed, they're hidden, you know, they're covered up, you know, no one can see them, but yet this right here at one point started out as a seed. This was hidden. This was completely under dirt. And just like my garden, when it comes time, when the sun starts to warm up the earth, I'm sure I'm going to have potatoes popping back up again. Until you get all those potatoes out, until you get all that sin out of your life, until you get it all out, it's going to pop back up. And you know, you think that, you know, okay, I got them all. I got all this, you know, all this potatoes out, or, you know, you may think you can kind of hide something, or, you know, but it's gonna pop their heads up. One day, our stuff is gonna come back to the surface. It always does. So if you're here today and you think that you've got stuff hidden, know that, as it says in Jeremiah 16:17, my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their sin concealed from my eyes. So I'd just like to challenge you today, if there's things that are in your life that you want to get rid of, give them to God, and He will take them and He will cleanse you from them. This is all I have. We'll bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, I thank You for Your word that we have. Dear God, I thank You for the examples that we have of great men that fell and came back to You. Dear God, we think of them as heroes of the faith, and yet they were simple men just like us who fell down and who tried to cover up their sin. Dear God, I pray that You would be with each one of us as we live our lives. Dear God, I pray that if we have sin in our lives, that we could confess it to You, and You would be able to forgive us from it. Dear God, I pray that we would be able to live victorious lives for You. Dear God, I pray that You would just be with us as we go from here. Pray Your protection on us as we go. I ask that You would go with us and keep us. In Your name I pray. Amen.